Dalhitradin. Grandsons like my father Vena. Rite. Accept. Meteor. Of personified death. Socham. Abominable. Dharma vimohitam. Bewildered on the path of religion. Varga. Religion, economic development, sense gratification, and liberation. Swarga. Elevation to the heavenly planets. Apavarganam. Being freed from material contamination. Prayana. Almost always. Eka. One. Atmya. The Supreme Personality of Godhead. Hetuna. On account of. Translation by His Divine Grace, C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Although abominable persons like my father, Vena, the grandson of death personified, are bewildered on the path of religion, all the great personalities like those mentioned agree that in this world the only bestower of benedictions of religion, economic development, sense gratification, liberation, or elevation to the heavenly planets is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Repeat, please. Although abominable persons, like my father, Vena, the grandson of death personified, are bewildered on the path of religion. All the great personalities, like those mentioned, agree that in this world, the only bestower of the benediction of religion, economic development, sense gratification, liberation or elevation to the heavenly planets is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Popo. It's a quite long popo. Please be patient. King Vena, the father of Prithu Maharaj, was condemned by the Brahmanas and saintly persons because of his denying the existence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and rejecting the method of satisfying him by performance of Vedic sacrifice. In other words, he was an atheist who did not believe in the existence of God, and he consequently stopped all Vedic ritualistic ceremonies in his kingdom. Prithu Maharaj considered King Vena's character abominable because Vena was foolish regarding the execution of religious performances. Atheists are of the opinion that there is no need to accept the authority of the Supreme Personality of Godhead to be successful in religion, economic development, sense gratification, or liberation. According to them, dharma or religious principles are meant to establish an imaginary God to encourage one to become moral, honest, and just so that the social orders may be maintained in peace and tranquility. Furthermore, they say that actually there is no need to accept God for this purpose, For if you one follows the principles of morality and honesty, that is sufficient. I'd like to make a pause here and make a small comment about this last part that I read, that according to the atheists, they say that there is no necessity of accepting God to establish that people become moral and honest. No? They say that actually there is no need to accept God for this purpose. For if one follows the principles of morality and honesty, that is sufficient. So now there is a small flaw in this line of thought, because who is going to say what is moral and what is honest? We can see that what is moral for one person is not for another person. What is moral in one country and another country is immoral. And what is moral now, 30, 40 years, wasn't moral anymore. So who is going to say what is moral? The government. For the government to tax heavy tax in the citizens, that is moral. But for the citizens, it is not moral that they take so much money for us, we have to work so hard. So then seems that we need God to establish what is real moral and what is real honesty. So I'm going to continue reading the purport of Srila Prabhupada. Similarly, if one makes nice plans and works very hard for economic development, automatically the result of economic development will come. Similarly, sense gratification also does not depend on the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For if one earns enough money by any process, one will have sufficient opportunity for sense gratification. Insofar as liberation is concerned, they say that there is no need to talk of liberation, because after death, everything is finished. So now I'm going to make another comment about this point, because there is another flaw here. Now, if there is no soul after death, everything is finished, then they have to say, what is the difference between a live body and a dead body? Someone can say, but when a person is old, everything becomes worn out, and then it's natural death. But what about a young person when quits the body? What is missing that body doesn't work? It's only some chemical substance, then why not put it there and make him alive again? So there is something that is missing in a dead body. And that is the soul, what we are. So then there is a flaw in this line of thought that after death, everything is finished. So they don't know to answer many questions, many doubts that everybody has. And they try to put forth many philosophies, like this one. So let's continue then. Prithu Maharaj, however, did not accept the authority of such atheists headed by his father, who was the grandson of death personified. Generally, a daughter inherits the qualities of her father, and a son gets the qualities of his mother. Thus, Mrityu's daughter, Sunita, got all the qualities of her father, and Vena inherited the qualities of his mother. A person who is always subjected to the rules and regulations of repeated birth and death cannot accommodate anything beyond materialist ideas. Since King Vena was such a man, he did not believe in the existence of God. Modern civilization agrees with the principle of King Vena, but factually, if we scrutinizingly study all the conditions of religion, economic development, sense gratification, and liberation, we must accept the principles of the authority of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. According to the Vedic literature, religion consists only of the codes of law given by God. So I'm going to read again this sentence because I'm going to talk about it later. According to the Vedic literature, religion consists only of the codes of law given by God. If one does not accept the authority of the Supreme Godhead in matters of religion and morality, one must explain why two persons of the same moral standard achieve different results. It is generally found that even if two men have the same moral standards of ethics, honesty, and morality, their positions are still not the same. Similarly, in economic development, it is seen that if two men work very hard day and night, still the results are not the same. One person may enjoy great opulence without even working, whereas another person, although working very hard, does not even get two sufficient meals a day. Similarly, in the matter of sense gratification, sometimes one who has sufficient food is still not happy in his family affairs, or sometimes is not even married. Whereas another person, even though not economically well off, has the greatest opportunity for sense gratification. Even an animal like a hog or dog may have greater opportunities for sense gratification than a human being. Aside from liberation, even if we consider only the preliminary necessities of life, dharma, artha, and kama, religion, economic development, and sense gratification, we will see that they are not the same for everyone. Therefore, it must be accepted that there is someone who determines the different standards. In conclusion, not only for liberation must one depend on the Lord, but even for ordinary necessities in this material world. Prithu Maharaj therefore indicated that in spite of having rich parents, children are sometimes not happy. Similarly, in spite of valuable medicine administered by a competent physician, sometimes a patient dies. Or in spite of having a big safe boat, sometimes a man drowns. We may thus struggle to counteract impediments offered by material nature, but our attempts cannot be successful unless we are favored by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Om Agyana Timirandasya Grandanam Shalakaya Chaksur Militam Dhyana Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Namaon Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Kutale Simata Vida Ananda Swasvam Tinamne Namaste Guru Nasaya Paramananda Medase Prabhupada Pramadaya Dusta Siddhanta Nasne Namaon Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Kutale Simata Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tinamne Namaste Saradvati Devi Guru Aban Prasadine Nivisesha Svanavadi Pasyatya Vesatarine So I'd like first to read some verse, because in this verse it says that although abominable persons like my father Vena, the grandson of death personified, are bewildered on the path of religion, all the great personalities like those mentioned agree that in this world the only bestowed benedictions of religion, economic development, Sanskrit purification, liberation, or elevation to the heavenly planets is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the in the page by the end of the chapter 23, 23rd, Sri Maitreya, that is narrating the history of Prithu Maharaj to Vidura. Maitreya is talking to Vidura. So by the end, when he finishes narrating the history of Prithu Maharaj, he explains the benefits that one gets by hearing the history, the story of Prithu Maharaj. I want there are nine verses where he says the benefits of hearing this pastime of Prithu Maharaj. I'm not going to read the nine one. I'm going to read only three, the last three, because I want to give some encouragement for those devotees that are coming to Srimad Bhagavatam class every day, and for those that are not coming, that they become encouraged to come every day. So this is page 294, is chapter 23, text 37. A pure devotee who is executing the different processes of devotional service may be situated in the transcendental position, being completely absorbed in Krishna consciousness. But even he, while discharging devotional service, must hear, read, and induce others to hear about the character and life of Prithu Maharaj. The next verse he says, it says, the great sage Maitreya continued, my dear Vidura, I have, as far as possible, spoken the narration about Prithu Maharaj, which enrich one's devotional attitude. Whoever takes advantage of these benefits also goes back home, back to Godhead, like Maharaj Prithu. And the last verse, it says, whoever, with great reverence and adoration, regularly reads, chants, and describes the history of Maharaj Prithu's activities, will certainly increase unflinching faith and attraction for the lotus feet of the Lord. The Lord's lotus feet are the boat by which one can cross the ocean of nations. So, I hope as myself, you became enthused to continue coming and hearing the pastimes of Prithu Maharaj. So in this verse, there is a word, Dharma Vimohitam, bewildered on the path of religion. King Prithu was saying that his father, Vena, was bewildered in the path of religion. And this is the situation nowadays. Many people, they are bewildered what is religion and what is not religion. First of all, they don't know exactly what is religion. I made a research because online there are different dictionaries. And I made a research about the word religion. And I became a little bit sad because many of the definitions, there is no the word God in the definition of religion. Can you imagine this? And some of them say that religion means to worship God or some higher personality, they say like this. And then there are another meanings, that a set of rituals or some belief that you have, that is religion. It's so sad this, because that is not, as Srila Prabhupada says here in the purport, According to Vedic literature, religion consists only of the codes of law given by God. This is religion. And some of them, they don't even mention the word God in the definition. And some of them, and then I made a research also about how many religions there are in the world nowadays. And I got many pages, and all then say it's impossible to know. Nobody knows exactly how many religions there are. Some say that there are four main religions, others say that there are 10 main religions, others say 20 main religions. And then I saw some religions that were there listed. And some religions that they consider religion, for example, they use marijuana, and they don't have a scripture. And so Buddhist is considered a religion also, and they are atheists. So it's very sad. I realized that we have a lot to do. We have a lot to preach, because the world is so in darkness. Like Guru Sivananda was speaking yesterday, it's like flying in the dark. Yeah, they don't know where they are going. And they accept as religion what's not religion at all. Because, as says, according to the Vedic literature, religion consists only in the codes of law given by God. Why? Why is it? Why that we cannot create a religion? That one person can, okay, I'm going to create a religion. Why is it? Because it is a simple reason why nobody can create a religion. Because God is so great. God is so beyond our intelligence, our understanding. How we can create a path to reach Him? It has to be given by God. He has to, you have to do this, you have to do this, and this to know me, to come to me, to understand me. Otherwise, it's like an ant trying to understand the activities of a human being. The ant never will understand what a human being does, because its field of activity is so limited. A person goes to another town, another country, how an ant will understand it? So in the same way, we cannot understand God. And to understand God, we have to receive the directions of God, how to approach Him, how to please Him. So it's for that nobody can create religion, unless someone is a Mahajana, a great devotee, because then Krishna direct him. So this is one point that I would like to speak about, the necessity of give light to people that they don't even know what religion means. And even the meaning of the word religion is very confused. Many of them say that they don't know. Others, they put a lot of things, and by the end they quote that maybe it came from Latin, it's a Latin word, the religare. Religare means to connect again. So that is the real meaning of religion. Religare, to connect again. Who? The living entity to connect with God. But it is then the middle of a lot of other explanation about the meaning. Some of them say that it is lost in the past. They don't know the origin of the word religion. So that is the situation. There are a lot of confusion, misunderstanding, lack of knowledge, ignorance. And this Krishna consciousness that was created by Srila Prabhupada has the main purpose to give light to people. Another point that explain here that all the great personalities, like those mentioned in the previous verse, like great personalities like Manu, Uttanapada, Dhruva, Priyavrata, my grandfather Anga, as well many other great personalities and ordinary living entities, believe in the existence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, but someone can say, oh, I don't know Manu, I don't know Uttanapada, I don't know Dhruva. Yeah, how? But nowadays, in 2011, there are many great personalities living, yeah, that are alive, people that we can study their lives and see it. How glorious they are. People that they had youth, beauty, they had money, they had intelligence, and they abandoned everything and surrendered to Krishna. There are many devotees nowadays in ISKCON that is like this. They are great personalities. And we should study their lives and see, understand it, and then we can say, well, I know a great personality that believes in God. And just great personalities that live today, they came to Krishna consciousness through another great personality, Srila Prabhupada, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. And although many of us did not had the opportunity to meet Srila Prabhupada personally, but by studying the lives of these devotees that met Srila Prabhupada and see how they are great personalities, we can understand Srila Prabhupada and know that Srila Prabhupada was a great personality. So then we'll give more importance what Srila Prabhupada says in his books. And then we can come to understand and accept all these great personalities, like Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, like Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Because one great personality speaks about another great personality. And as you know, that these great personalities that live with you, you study their lives and see that they are great personalities, then you accept what they say about another great personality. So then we can come to the point of accepting Manu, Uttanapada, Dhruva, Priyavrata, Narada Muni, and many others. And all these great personalities, they accepted the existence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we are seeing here the history of Maharaj Prithu, and it happened in Satya Yuga. So things were a little bit different. Srila Prabhupada mentioned it in Prabhupada, that it was in Satya Yuga that Prithu Maharaj lived. So don't be amazed that the things described here are a little bit different what we live nowadays. No? And here we can see Rajarsi, a king that was a saintly person. And nowadays, we speak a lot about Varnashrama. But my understanding is that Varnashrama is not possible without a saintly king. Or may not be a king, may be a president or a group of people that are ruling, but they should be saintly persons. Because if they are not, it's impossible Varnashrama. Because let's say that we want to establish Varnashrama in the society at large today. We get a pen and a paper and go around saying, who wants to be Shudra? No money, you have to serve the three other classes. We'll be provided with everything. Who is going to sign up for it? Very few, I think, if you get one. And then Vaishya, you have to protect cow. Vaishya, they want to have profit money. And to kill and sell the cow, a lot of money. Where we are going to find Vaishyas today? So it's for that is necessary. A saintly king of government that will see that everybody is doing their duty, what they should do. And a person would be classified as Shudra, Vaishya, or Kshatriya, or Brahmana by his qualifications, not by birth. And it is very easy to see by the astrological chart. So that the astrology, many and many times here in the Bhagavatam, is mentioned. Because through astrology we can see who has tendency to Shudra, has tendency to Vaishya, has tendency to Kshatriya, has tendency to Brahmana. Of course, that Satyuga, they had very honest astrologers, and they have a great knowledge of astrology. Kali Yuga also, astrology is very difficult to find. Very knowledgeable astrologer. So then, without a Rajarsi, it's impossible, in my point of view, to establish Varnashram, because it has to have a government, a strong person that is there seeing that the Shudras are doing what they should do, and he should be able to chastise everybody, and everybody agrees with him that the Vaishyas are doing what they need to do, and that the Brahmanas are doing what they should do also. They should chastise someone that is passing by Brahmana and try to preach about religion, and they are not religion. If we had a strong Rajas nowadays, many people that are cheating others, creating religions, they wouldn't exist. They would exist because, no, this is nonsense, you cannot do this, and close your shop. So, another point that I want to talk is that here in this purport speaks about atheists. So, why a person is atheist? Basically, there are two reasons. One, a person doesn't know about God. He doesn't have any knowledge about God. And then he is atheist. And the other reason is someone that he wants to be God. He is envious of God. And he doesn't want to acknowledge any God. But for those who doesn't know, imagine a small boy, blue, with a peacock, a lot nice decorations, nice garments, dress. A small boy. And his father asked him to bring his slippers, wooden slippers. And he goes and carries it in his head to his father. Who would not love, worship such a God? He's so adorable. Who, knowing the characteristics of Krishna, would not love him? A person that when he was a small boy, a fruit vendor came and was saying, fruits, fruits, who wants fruits? And when he had it, he got some grains in his small hand and went to exchange by fruits, as it was the custom at that time. And the vendor became enchanted by his beauty and accepted the small grains, little grains that he had, and filled his arms with fruits. And immediately his her basket became full of jewels. So who would not worship such God that is so kind, so generous, that if someone gives some grains to him, he gives a basket full of jewels. So that is the God that we worship, Krishna. So kind, so merciful, so beautiful, so attractive. And also, he had a friend, Sudama, that went with him in the school. And Sudama was a Brahmana. And as a Brahmana, he used to live a simple life and higher thinking, only studying the scriptures and doing his daily worship. And so he didn't have enough money even to maintain his family. And his wife was concerned that he was skinny and the children had barely food to eat. Then his wife told him, please go and look your friend Krishna that lives in Dwaraka. I heard that he is very charitable. You go.